Good morning. It is 11:19 a.m. We are here today, November 24, 2015, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPA PA 1510, Guam Pacific Enterprises, Inc. versus General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Peter C. Perez and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Llewellyn Terlahi, Clarissa Roque, and Ashley Garland. Will appellant Guam Pacific Enterprises, Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. My name is Sedfrey Linsana. I'm the president of Guam Pacific Enterprises, Inc.
Will purchasing agency, General Services Agency, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives for the record?
Nicholas Toft on behalf of GSA and the Office of the Attorney General.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Mr. Linsagen, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, Your Honor.
You can just, don't call me Your Honor, just Mr. Perez, our hearing officer.
All right, Mr. Perez. My name is Edwin Lansanan. I'm 56 years old. I'm not a lawyer. I have a degree in Bachelor of Science, major in chemistry, graduate from Far Eastern University, Manila. I've been a small business owner for the last 28 years in Guam. I started my company as just by myself. During the peak of my business, I have 25 workers. I have a store in Saipan and I have an office in Oregon. The because of the economic downturn, my staff have, or my workers have been reduced to 8 people. And I closed my store in Saipan and office in buying office in Oregon. Due to anticipated military buildup, so many mainland companies that came here to Guam, like almost 6. Of course, the biggest is Home Depot, and some company that specializes in my field, plumbing and hard-to-find materials. It hurt the company, and that's why I decided to continue to participate again on bids. Because when the retail was good, my company doesn't participate on government biddings. Moving forward, the largest bid that we won was $550,000 from UWA, and recently we just won a $380,000, but it's an indefinite quantity bid, and we don't even know if it will materialize or not. It's good for 1 year. It could be reduced or increased. Okay. Yeah, that's why I made an appeal, because the economy in Guam is not only about construction and military buildup. It's also about the disbursements of a general fund. Federal fund handed or administered by procurement officials. You know, they play a very important role. That's why the past legislature have drafted or created the procurement laws, 5GCA. It needs to be followed by the procurement officials. In this appeal, I'm definite and firm there's an abuse of discretion on part of the GSA officials, which I will articulate my cause on the on my subsequent minutes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Toft.
Thank you. Ours is entirely a legal argument in this matter. We agree with Mr. Lansanen as to almost all of the facts. I think there's only one that we disagree on, and that is the status of the lowest bidder. As I pointed out in the motion that we had filed, the agencies know their needs. They structured their invitations for bidding to fit those needs. And the whole point of procurement is that it's supposed to be fair for everyone, that all these terms are laid out at the start of the bid, and they're to be followed by all the bidders, and if there's any questions, they're to be brought up before the bids are open or submitted, so that the not only the agency but other bidders can also be flexible and modify their bids accordingly. To kind of attack the process subsequent to the bid, saying GSA should be flexible in this term or that term in the general interest, is not how procurement's supposed to be done, because that doesn't afford any other bidders the opportunity to make adjustments to that. And I'll, similar to Mr. Lansang, and I'll follow up with the legal arguments during the actual.
Thank you. Mr. Lansangan, how do you wish to proceed? Is there anybody you want to call as a witness? Do you want to submit any additional exhibits? Do you want to rest on what you've submitted and go into argument? How do you wish to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor, I would like to, Mr. Perez, I'd like to submit some additional exhibits.
Okay. So probably the best way to do this is for you to identify, you know, what, do you have copies for everybody?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so let's go one by one. How many do you have?
I have three sets.
Okay, do you have it as a packet?
No.
Okay, you have three exhibits. And this is
confidential. This exhibit, the.
Well, when you say it's confidential, what do you mean?
Because this is related on the delivery regarding bleachers that the GSA have a habit of not extending the delivery, even though there is a. Valid concerns or valid reason, which so, I will discuss later.
Well, we just want to be careful on the confidentiality issue. Is this a document? Is this your business document that you're asking to keep confidential?
Yes, you have.
Is this from your company?
This is from the supplier of the bleacher.
So, okay, why do you say it's confidential?
Because. They have this forbid. There's a comment here from the supplier which they prefer. Is they refer this item is already part of the GSA control number.
Okay, so please submit the exhibit to.
The LA Country Export is my company, LA, my office.
Okay, so let's, the way, please go ahead and have a seat. And the way that we'll do this is please submit the documents to Ms. Rookie. And then she will disseminate them. So, okay, this is your exhibit 9 and 10. Mr.
Lizzo. Yes, yes.
So do you want to, before you submit the next exhibit, do you want to go through the exhibit and state its purpose?
That exhibit 9 and 10?
Yes. So why don't we start with 9? Okay. So can you identify what exhibit 9 is?
I think I have my copy.
So I guess first, what is the purpose of Exhibit 9, and then you can explain what it is.
The purpose of this Exhibit 9 resonated to GSA's behavior, not to extend the delivery, even there's valid reason. This is relevant to. My current appeal because of delivery requirement, and this bleacher cost almost $100,000 in the first place from the manufacturer that they refer.
So is this a Guam procurement?
Guam procurement. They advertised this for invitation for bid, and it was on October 13th. And then...
Of what year?
Of this year. And originally they asked for, they required for four. And I request for extension for the bid. Just for delivery extension. I think you also have a copy of the GSA correspondences regarding that.
So for Exhibit 9, this is this appears to be a quote, right?
A quote.
And this is for something that you were going to order for a Guam procurement?
No, this is the one that I would like to participate on.
So this is a separate procurement?
Yeah, separate. See, this is a separate bid.
Okay, so why do you bring it up in this procurement?
Just to validate my judgment that GSA will not extend any delivery, even though I have a valid reason.
Okay, so in this other procurement for Exhibit 9, were you awarded the procurement or were you not?
No, because I did not participate on it. I'm just asking. There's a time frame to ask questions.
Right.
And one company asked for the delivery extension to 125 days.
Okay.
And then I asked for a delivery extension also for 130 days for the same reason. I think you have a copy of the exhibit there, Mr. Perez. And also I asked for extension up to November 13. And they approved my extension of the bid on October 13, but not the delivery extension. They said because of the time frame on asking question, they're only giving us 4 days to ask question, and that's against the law, the procurement law, because you're not supposed to be unduly restrictive based on the current law. And besides, why they will approve, if there's a limit, why they will approve my request for extension of the bid, but they did not approve the delivery extension.
Did they approve it for anyone?
No, they approved my request for extension.
Oh,
because it's October the 13th, and they make it November,
Did they approve the delivery extension for anybody?
No, they did not approve.
For anybody?
And then what they did after that, they even increased the bleacher to double. They make it, they have an amendment, they increase it to 8 bleachers. And then for the second time around, I told them, I made the request again. Since you increase it to 8, then you need to give us more delivery extension, increase the delivery extension to 145 days or 160 days, because we still have to assemble the bleachers.
So and
it will cost up to $100,000.
So Exhibit 9 and Exhibit 10 are examples of instances where GSA has not agreed to extend the delivery period?
Yes. And the reason why I submitted that, because there's a note there from our supplier, from Highland, that they refer in the bid, the comment, this item is part of GSA contract number. So I'm having that notion that it's already fixed, that they already had a contract with Highland, and why they will publish it for bid. And they're not they're not extending the delivery because they don't want anybody to bid. And then there's one company that also, asked for a delivery extension, the Americana supplier. You have it in the exhibit, and they also deny it. And then there's one company, same company, Guam Modern Office Supply, which they awarded the bid, which they plan to award the bid on, and
this
appeal.
In this procurement.
They like to participate too, and they also asking for not delivery extension. They also only asking for extension of the bid.
Okay, talking about the other procurement, not the one that's on appeal today.
Yes. The same company that they And he did not ask for delivery extension, but he only asked for extension of the bid on November 18. But GSA approved the bid on November 20. You see, I don't know if the company participated or he's the only one that participated or nobody participated. Because from the Highland, you know, it's already part of GSA. So why they will approve my delivery, extension of the bid, but they won't approve the delivery extension?
Right.
You know, even it's already passed the time frame.
You're not getting any relief. Even if they extend the submission deadline, if they're not going to extend the delivery deadline, it doesn't help you.
Of course, especially they make it double. So the more it will take time to assemble the bleachers. But it's no more money, almost 220,000 net.
And you're offering this to show some sort of course of dealing of GSA.
Yeah, this is the behavior of GSA. You know, not very suspicious behavior. It is not in agreement with the current procurement laws.
Okay, so Exhibit 9 and 10, they're submitted, the weight of which will be determined in the decision. Do you have any comments on Exhibits 9 or 10?
I would object to the relevance of it. It's a totally different procurement from a different agency. We don't know the needs of that particular agency with regards to the exigency of the bidding process here. You know, if I had a little more time to look into that bid and see if it were comparable, if there is any sort of pattern here, I'm just not seeing it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mansongan, did you have another exhibit?
First of all, Your Honor, I object to the opinion of the Attorney General. It is very relevant because it pertains to delivery, the way the GSA is handling the request for delivery extension.
Right, so your exhibits, each side will present their positions regarding argument and evidence. And so
I have another exhibit.
Okay, so Exhibits 9 and 10, you know, they're going to be considered. And
that's the question.
So this next exhibit, this is a November 16th, 2015 General Services Agency document, correct?
Yes, Mr. Perez.
Okay, and is this Exhibit 11?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the, what would you like to state with respect to Exhibit 11?
This will validate the behavior of the GSA in terms of requesting for delivery extension. Because the response is, I'm requesting for 140 days because of the increase of bleachers. And now they did is response, please refer to page 2. Acknowledgement receipt form, deadline for any question or concern must be submitted by 10/23/15. The delivery requirement will remain the same 90 days.
Okay, and this is further evidence of GSA's course of dealing regarding delivery extensions.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any further exhibits? Additional exhibits, I mean. Okay, so just for the record, you have submitted a total of 11 exhibits, correct?
I have exhibits, but prior to that, the exhibit, the 20-page letter with exhibit A, B, C, D.
Uh-huh. Yes. So let's, Mr. Linsongan, let's just make sure. Let me just make sure that I'm following you regarding your exhibits. So the 20-page letter. What's the date of that letter? And did you give that an exhibit number?
The date of the
Thank you. just so you understand.
I don't have the names with me, but it is the 20 pages.
So remember you submitted an exhibit list, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to your exhibit list. Okay, I think I found your this is where you write it today to OPA, September 29th, 2015. Is that the 20-page document you're referring to?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's tab 5. Is that what you're referring to?
I would like to start with the Exhibit D, Mr. Perez.
Okay, let me just make sure we're looking at the same document.
Yes.
Yes.
This is where I'm underlying my argument.
Let's just make sure everybody has it.
Okay, thank you.
Do you remember if you provided a copy of this to the Attorney General?
I provided a copy to GSA. Because it's prior to his appointment as the counsel.
Is it in the procurement record?
No, this is the appellant's comments as of September 29th. Submitted comments. It's not part of the procurement record, something submitted.
Yeah,
comments.
Okay. But did we provide to the AG's office?
They're supposed to provide. He said he provided to GSA.
But he did.
But did you provide it to the Attorney General?
No, because it's prior to his appointment as the counsel.
Right, so remember, the reason why we ask is because when you identify any exhibits, you both sides are supposed to exchange. So we're just making sure that he has it. Even though we're informal, we need to make sure everybody has everything so they can...
But I provided it to GSA.
But that's not enough. It had to be provided to him. At the time, you submitted it to OPA. Your obligation was to submit it also to the AG at the same time.
But the time that I submitted it to OPA... He was not yet involved.
Right, but after we had the pre-hearing conference when we were last here together,
mm-hmm.
The parties were directed to provide exhibits to each other.
Well, but as prescribed by law, though, it says GSA should be the one to submit to their counsel.
Right. This was my order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll proceed.
Okay. So, Mr. Toft, let me...
You want to make a copy of that for him? Here, you can make it for mine. Make it provide him a copy. While we are informal, Mr. We also need to make sure that everybody has all the same information.
That's great. Thank you for your understanding.
Yes.
So just as an aside, while they're making a copy, so this document, you have it, the exhibits as letters, correct?
Yes.
And then the exhibits you provided today are numbers, so we just want to make sure that we have everything that you're relying upon in your presentation. So... Are your exhibits this approximately 20-page packet plus these three additional exhibits, 9, 10, and 11?
Yes, sir, very much.
Okay. That's what you want us to look at.
Okay.
So you're asking.
Excuse me,
yes,
Mr. Perez. I already submitted the exhibit correspondences pertaining to GSA documents in regards to question and answer on bleachers.
Right. So
that's not the only one.
So we have a clear record, is we have this approximately 20-page packet, and then the three exhibits that you submitted this morning regarding the bleacher procurement. We called those 9, 10, and 11. Is that correct?
Yes, but aside from that, on last week I submitted the list of issues with some documents on attached to it.
Okay.
Last week?
Last week, November 12th. Received by OPA on November 12th, 2 p.m.
Okay, so I see those here. All right, so just so we're clear, you've got the packet of documents which you submitted on September 29th, 2015, correct?
Yes.
And those include exhibits up to Exhibit S.
Exhibit
S, as in Sam. Do you agree?
Yes.
And then you submitted October 29th exhibits E1 through E15. Is that correct?
But I noticed 9 and 10 are not in here.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. So E1 through 15. There is no 9 and 10. So is this
the 9 and 10?
Is this the 9 and 10 you meant to submit?
Yes.
Okay. Then the last one you submitted, 11, maybe we need to renumber that one to make it 16.
Okay.
So the former one that was acknowledged as Exhibit 11 is now Exhibit 16, to be consistent.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And just one other notation with respect to your original packet that goes up to Exhibit S.
Yes, Mr. Perez.
So where are Exhibits A, B, and C? Because it appears to start at Exhibit D.
No longer relevant, Mr. Perez.
So no A, B, or C.
Yes. Just prior to the submission of the bids, that's my argument.
All right.
But now, this exhibit superseded.
Okay.
Those exhibits.
Okay, so we have Exhibit D through S, and then Exhibits E1 through E16. Correct?
Yes.
Mr. Toft, do you have that packet already?
I'm sorry, which
do you have the packet that contains Exhibits D through S? Was that 20? Page packet that was just copied. You have that
now? I have that now.
Okay. Okay, so we have your exhibits. How do you want to proceed at this point?
I will prove my cause, my allegation that there's an abuse of discretion on the part of GSA procurement officials.
Okay, and do you believe that that's the standard, that it's abuse of discretion?
abuse of authority and discretion, and they did not adhere to procurement laws. Okay. And on the award,
so.
Okay. I can articulate one by one by exhibit.
Okay. How long do you think that will take?
Yeah, it will be fast because some are related.
So why don't you do that then?
Yes. Well, in this bid, the award should be an exhibit D, determination of responsibility of bidders. The procurement chief procurement officer shall be guided by the following on determination of the award. First of all, the price of items offered. That's the second page of Exhibit D. The ability, capacity, and skill of bidder. Whether the bidder, number three, whether the bidder can perform promptly or within the specified time. As you can see, that's not the priority. But and then on Exhibit D also, on the award, cancellation, and rejection, award shall be made to the lowest responsible and responsive bidder whose bid is determined to be the most advantageous to the government, taking into consideration the evaluation factors set forth in this solicitation. Okay, in this bid, they awarded to Guam Modern. They said, because he is the responsible and responsive bidder. And I highly question that, because first of all, Guam Modern is, how do you define responsive? You need to be truthful. And what did it, in the specs that was listed, he did not specify his deviation on the overall debt. GPE and the two other bidders, we identify our deviation because the specs calls for 25 inches. As three bidders, we specify 25 and 116. Because you need to be truthful, whatever is the deviation. And only Guam Modern is the only one that put as specified.
In other words, they didn't identify the size.
It did not identify the site because that's wrong. That what it did is already, because you can already call it unresponsive or not being honest. Let me just get the okay. So how could it be irresponsive if it's not truthful?
So just a point, I think, that the public auditor wanted to make.
In the summary of the bids, and I looked at every one of the bids, everyone indicated the same model, 4.1825-C by Westsource, Sunleader, DBA, Guam Modern Office, 4-1825-C, Hansen, 4.1825-C, model for Guam Pacific, that's you, 4.1825C. So.
Still no, this is just a CPAD, PAD. Not only C, I have the abstract here.
The model is identical in all, and I did look at each bid to verify that. I did look at CPAD, let's see, that was.
On my exhibit, a few.
You understand the public auditor's point, right? Everybody submitted, offering the same file cabinet.
But not my company. My company indicated CPAD.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, Mr. Everybody else did say so the wording PAD, is that a different model than?
That's specifically calls for color parchment. Because that's what the bid calls for on the specification that they listed.
Right. That's a color indicator.
Color indicator, because the only model C is for general colors.
Right, it could identify a different color.
Different colors, like 10 colors. And that's what they're lacking. And only my company has submitted the right specs.
So hold on one moment.
Yes.
Source only said C. Hansen also just said 41825C, so there is one slight distinction. So the four bidders, Hansen, West Source, GPE is different in that it does, Sunleader, excuse me. Okay, three of the four bidders said 41825C, whereas GPE stated 41825C PAT. There is a distinction. And so the summary prepared by GSA is slightly incorrect. Okay. Because GPE is the only one that said C PAT, whereas everybody else said C. Mm-hmm. All right? So just for clarification, there is a slight distinction between the submissions. So the question would go to you, Mr. Toff. Is there a distinction between CPAD versus C?
Forgive me a second. Yeah. This is the first time I've seen this.
Sure.
If you can give me that.
That was one.
Also, Mr. Paris,
yes.
I saw my point on the not being responsive for modern, but X makes CBIC P will affirm that. Okay. CBIC P.
So let's just give Mr. Goff an opportunity to look at that issue regarding CPAD, and then we can go to your next point.
Yeah.
remember Mr. Nsongan, where you did require, specify that it needed to be part of the color?
Yes, it's a part of the document.
Okay, do you remember where?
On the... on the procurement record?
Yes.
Number, table of contents, number 3, page 30, color part, the specification, color parchment. That's GPE bin, the specification of GSA. Under specification?
Right.
The color is specified, parchment.
Right, this is your submittal, right?
Yeah, this is a submittal provided by GSA. This is a document by GSA. I just fill it up.
I see. Well, oh, I see.
It just seemed to have made a difference. That's the same. For the record, I'm going to have Ms. Llewellyn Talahi speak on the differences between CPAD and C.
Well, I guess reviewing them, the bids, what was submitted with Mr. Lansangan, your brochure shows that that's the model number, CPAD, and it's parchment, but the other bids, it's just showing Cs, but there's an attachment that they could select different colors, including parchment. So it was not necessary that it had to, that was the exact model number. Their models, I guess the brochures are showing it, it's just a C.
I agree, but if you call for specification, GSA call for specification, specifically for parchment color, then you have to submit the responsible bidder need to submit the correct model number.
Yeah.
Then match what they're asked for.
So
there's a general, and then there's different model number for yellow, for black, for red.
So we understand your point. So please go to your next point.
Okay. My next point is Exhibit P, which I already discussed.
So that's Exhibit P as in Peter?
P, yes. The overall, on their specification again.
Oh, let us just go to your exhibit. Hold on.
Which exhibit?
Exhibit P, as in Papa.
Okay.
The... submitted by Guam Modern on the overall deck, they did not indicate the deviation. They put as specified. But three of the other bidders, including GPE, we indicated 25 and 116 because that's what on the catalog, even on the exhibit P, the second page of exhibit P, the catalog that is submitted by Guam Modern is also specified 25 and 116.
But on the specifications, I see. In other words, the proposed filing cabinet is going to be bigger than 25 inches.
Yeah. Okay. And it's the only one that did not indicate the deviation.
Right. But everybody is submitting the same other than maybe a color difference, everybody's submitting the same product for procurement, right?
Yes. But my third argument is my price is lower than one modern.
I just want to understand your argument here. Okay. So that's for exhibit P. Do you have anything more regarding exhibit B?
I just want to reiterate again that only Guam Modern did not indicate the deviation.
Right,
everybody else
specified.
Yes.
Okay.
That's already an indication of unresponsible and unresponsive.
Go ahead and go to your next step.
And then now the delivery is the only one that indicated as specified on what GSA is asking, 30 days.
Right.
The Han specific, like 10 weeks. The other resource made a strategy to get the order. He indicated 4 to 6 weeks, 28 to 45 days.
But do you want to go to an exhibit, a specific exhibit, so we can address it in the...
It's on the abstract.
Okay.
You can see there the offer, the delivery.
So
and
do you remember what exhibit letter that is in your packet? Just so we can identify it.
I don't have the exhibit, but it's abstract of the bids. You should have it on the procurement record.
We do, but what we're trying to do is follow your exhibit logic.
It's tab 3, blue 10. Tab 3, blue 10 is the bid analysis.
Can I continue?
Yes, so you're looking at the abstract?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer. West Source, the delivery date offered is 4 to 6 weeks. GPE, 6 to 7 weeks. Hansen is 10 weeks. Guam Modern is as specified, meaning they comply with the delivery requirement, 30 days. And it's just impossible because we all deal direct with the factory. If we cannot deal direct with the factory, we deal with the distributor. That's the bottom line on vendors and suppliers. And sometimes there are a few vendors that use that strategy just to get the bid. You know, just so that they won't be so that he won't be disqualified. And that's a strategy that is not good for the government, because you're discouraging other bidders in the long run. And besides, why would GSA stick with the delivery wherein the request by the police officer was made on April 24. Check your procurement record, copy of requisition, page 12.
So specify what you're looking at right now.
Yeah. I'm looking on the Ms. Lynette Cruz requisition to GSA on April 24, 2015 in regarding to purchase of this drawer. And the encumbered date is April 27.
Is this one of your exhibits, or is this from the procurement?
No, it's from the procurement record.
Okay, so give us a moment to get there.
Okay.
So we're looking at April 24th.
Request date.
Procurement record, tab 12.
Okay. copy of our decision.
Okay, so what statement would you like to make regarding this exhibit?
My point here is the delivery is not important, it's not relevant for the award, because GSA did not act on it for 4 months, wherein the department that needs it requested it on April 24, 2015. GSA only placed the ad on August 14. Almost 4 months have passed. They let it sleep in their office. They didn't acted on it. It's a, you check the table of contents, copy of ad, page 13. If delivery is really an issue, they should act on it right away. Copy of advertisement. They advertised it August 14. Almost 4 months have passed, and besides, on the requisition, justification made by the department that needs it, the fire department or police department, is from standard office supply. And there's nothing here that indicate delivery. No? So how did they come up with the 30 days? There should be something here that indicate delivery, that will come not from GSA, but from the local vendors that have expertise on it.
But does it require some speculation on your part to say what the government motivation was to insert a 30-day delivery date?
Yeah, because they are required by law. Based on the policy in favor of plan procurement, and policy in favor of local procurement, ENF, that they have to coordinate with the local vendors that has expertise on that kind of product. The vendor is not available in Guam, or he don't have any knowledge on delivery, then they have to coordinate with the mainland supplier to justify their specification, because delivery is also a specification. Delivery is considered as a specification. That's why you cannot just guesstimate the delivery. And then how could you justify that delivery is so important when they let it sleep for 4 months, and then there's no emergency. They issue a state procurement after my appeal. Because if it's really an emergency, they have the authority to award it regardless of my protest to justify their needs. But they didn't do it. And the AG's argument that the federal funds might lapse is unacceptable, because it's still going to lapse on January 30th of next year.
Okay, so I understand that point. Do you want to go to your next point?
Okay, my next point there is, of course, the price of the Guam Modern Office Supply is high.
Okay, so just for the record, so what exhibit are you looking at right now? Are you looking at the
on the abstract?
The abstract. Okay.
On the abstract, is the third highest bidder. He is less than $500 higher than my company. That's why I had, there are several factors that I already enumerated that he should not be awarded for the deed. And still GSA would like to award it to him. If they award it to Westsource, then I don't have any appeal. Because there's that's $6,000 difference. You know? Why would GSA not award it to Westsource, wherein the guy made it strategic delivery indication, 42 days, and still they awarded to Guam Modern because his delivery is 30 days. Imagine $6,000, $6,100 difference. I don't know. Why? Of course, in that regard, they can invoke on the to waive any minor irregularity or defects, you know, that is specified in terms and condition. Then I don't have to make an appeal. I will understand that. I don't have to tell my issue that, hey, you didn't confirm with this, because it's for the best interest of the government, that he needs, the government needs to save money.
So if your argument is correct, then, and they shouldn't have awarded to Guam Modern, are you arguing that it means that they should have awarded it to GPE?
Westsource.
Yeah, because I made an appeal, and investors also did not conform with the specification, because it did not indicate the CPAD.
So if it had been awarded to Westsource, you would have had a different appeal basis.
Well, if it's awarded to, then I will not make an appeal, because I understand the discretion of the chief procurement officer that he can waive any irregularity or defect for the best interest of the government.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, that's very obvious. Well, why would I make an appeal if the government will save money, $6,100 for only the CPAD PAD lettering? You see, that could be the one that really infuriates me is they awarded to this company that is higher than me, and then higher than Westsource by $6,100.
Sure.
Okay. Even the poor guy already made the strategic delivery requirement, 28 to 42 days. It already covered the 30 days that they required on the bid. That's my whole point. You know, there's so many bidders that will just keep quiet, keep calm, because they don't want to spend time arguing or debating, you know, or will not spend for lawyer's fee. But I'm different. My dad is a judge. I got two brothers that are lawyers. That's why I have this blood that I will argue if I think I'm correct.
Okay.
Just to repeat, Mr. Nassan, had GSA said they would have given it to Westsource, which is the lowest overall bidder, you would not have appealed this?
No, he didn't.
Thank you.
Do you want to go on to your next exhibit or point?
Yeah, you know, if they will be doing this type of behavior, then you cannot blame the stakeholders for negative interpretation. You know, why you'll be doing this kind of things? There's a various reason based on my negative motion, that nobody would like to, so that nobody would bid. So they favor the other guy. If nobody will bid, then they will be the one to order direct, so they can get commission. You see, they are subject to negative interpretation if they are misadministering the bid and not complying with the laws. You know, if you review their past history, out of 42 bids, only 11 were awarded, because no participation, rejection. You know. Because of the delivery requirement, like for example, exhibit R. This is regarding promo items. Exhibit R. They want they advertise it on May 15th.
What exhibit?
R.
R.
Exhibit R. They advertise it on May 15th. And then the bid shall be submitted on June 2. And then the delivery should be June 25. It's just impossible to meet this delivery because it will be coming from the mainland. June 2, and then they will give us the status on June 9. We only have 16 days to deliver. The next page also is Exhibit R, the bid status.
So let's call that R.1, okay? The bid status. So what did you want to point out regarding the bid status?
I'm the only bidder because nobody would bid because of the delivery requirement, but I take chance. And I was rejected because they need it on the 16 days after the bid opening. It's just impossible. So you want me to send it by airplane? And then it will spend more money for the government of Guam? That's why we have Exhibit 8. It's a violation of even the policy in favor of planned procurement. Old Section 5010. All procurements of supply and services shall, where possible, be made sufficiently in advance of need for delivery. That's already a violation of that law. And it also pertains to the drawer cabinet, because they let it sleep in their office for 4 months before advertising it. And then they're so keen on the delivery requirement for 30 days. Wherein the funds will expire on January 30, 2016. If they award it to me, it could have come already before end of this month. Or exhibits, Mr. Hearing Officer, that I indicated from just a few minutes. Exhibit E to Section 5001 to provide for increased public confidence. Now, how could you get public confidence if you're
so which
manipulating the bid requirement, the delivery requirement, disregarding the law. Oh. Exhibit E. I just want to indicate that because of the manipulation of bid delivery requirement, is contrary to the purpose of the procurement law to provide for increased public confidence. And number five, to provide increased economy in territorial activities. That's why if you notice, because we've been actively bidding now, because retail is hard. And the reason why we're concentrating on bids, we don't have to tie our money. Because sometimes you buy $100,000 stock, then we don't know when we're going to sell it. Not like the bids, if we win, then we order, we deliver, we wait for 60 days, 30 days. We got the money. We cannot compete with the other big companies. But I have witnessed that not so many companies are bidding because of only two, three, almost the same people, four. GPA, GAA, almost every bids we are participating if we can. You know, because of the way they administer you know, the bid is contrary to the procurement law. They are not, they're inserting or incorporating provisions that is not fair. Putting the bidders at the disadvantage. How would you entice bidders? Then, if government will order direct, then you're putting the government in an adverse situation too. Because there's no bid ban. You know? And if they default, how are they going to run after them? Not like the local vendors like us. We got bid ban, you can go up after us in case we don't deliver. Yeah, that's one disadvantage of a government going direct. And besides, based on the procurement law again, you cannot go direct unless it's not available to the local vendors, or nobody will bid. Section 5008, Policy in Favor of Local Procurement, Exhibit G. It will be fast. I'll go. Exhibit F, requirement of good faith. The chapter requires all parties involved in the negotiation, performance, or administration of territorial contracts to act in good faith. I think this is a violation of one modern office because they did not act in good faith by not inserting the deviation. At the same time, by GSA, because how would they come up with the delivery requirement? It's not in the document. I will discuss Exhibit G. And then, policy of in favor of plan procurement, Exhibit H, because that pertains also to delivery. I already stated this. They made sufficiently in advance of need for delivery or performance to promote maximum competition. They're not promoting maximum competition. Mostly only two bidders, three bidders, four bidders. The most is four bidders on supplies. And then procurement council, exhibit I, section 5118. I notice on all the correspondences that I have, the Claudia Akpagi's name is being signed by the procurement council, Robert Cono. Why like that? I don't have so many, like 10 correspondences, always Robert Cono, as if he's acting as the procurement chief procurement officer. You know? Sometimes I think that he's the one running the GSA based on all the correspondences. He's the one signing for Claudia Akpagi, not Claudia herself. And the job of Robert Cono is specified here. The procurement council shall assist and advise the procurement officer on all civil matters in which the General Service Agency is legally interested. I think he is overstepping beyond the scope of his work. No? He's not qualified to run as a chief procurement officer. He's a lawyer. He has no business running GSA. Only to assist. If he's here, I will cross-examine him really hard.
I'm going to object to relevance at this point. We're getting way off topic here. And it's...
A little bit more.
No, I think that needs to stop and needs to be explained by GSA. Why the procurement council is the one running GSA?
Is there a particular signature in this procurement?
All correspondences that I submitted. You're Mr. Hearing Officer.
Yes.
It's not always Robert Cono. Even the question that we're sending to GSA, always Robert Cono. He's acting beyond his scope of work, and he's not qualified. If he's here, I will really cross-examine very hard. Exhibit J. Page 40, please, just regarding the award also. The law is responsible bidder. This, I already explained. Exhibit K, duties of the chief procurement officer. I hope Ms. Claudia is here too. Was supposed to prepare, issue, revise, and monitor the use of the specification. Also, I will question her how you come up with the delivery, because you don't have any basis here. Because the delivery falls under the specification. And then exhibit L, 52, section 5264, relationship with using agencies. The chief procurement officer and public works shall obtain expert advice and assistance from personnel of using agencies. In the development of specification. There's no delivery that was developed by standard office supply. The justification that they submitted, only the price is what they indicated. 3,887, much higher than what all the bidders have bid on. But there's no delivery. That's why I said it. You're just guessing with your delivery, and then you're so strict on it. Then, section 5265, maximum practicable competition. All specifications shall seek to promote overall economy for the purposes intended and encourage competition in satisfying the territory's needs. How would you encourage competition and promote overall economy? They'll be misadministering the bid in terms of making the right discretion in accordance with the terms and conditions and procurement law.
Although, Mr. Lanzagna, let me just say for the record, the fact that there were four bidders here, that's the most I've ever seen. Most of our bids only have two. So there's been a lot, so I just want to correct for the record. Four bidders is actually quite significant.
Yes, yeah. Ms. Brooks.
Yeah.
I can guess that the reason for that is because it's less than 25,000.
Yeah.
The bid bond is not required.
Yeah.
It's only, Yes, if it's more than, because not so many can afford the bid bond.
Yes.
We don't want to tie their money.
Yes.
And then exhibit M, publication of source of specification. The specification contained in any invitation for bid or request for proposal shall identify the person responsible for drafting the specification. On their publication on the ad, they made on August 14, the name of the person was not indicated. It's a minor, but they need to be aware of that. And then exhibit O, federal funds. Because with their award, pending award, of course, my notion is that it's abuse and waste of waste and abuse of federal funds. And I have, there's already a precedent that I encountered with one of the agency that we won almost $80,000, but I think this is the only one doing it. And it's a law that they need to give 50% mobility from federal funds. Mobility movement to vendors. And I will not disclose that agency. I will be invoking on my privacy. What I meant is that although most of the agency, when it's funded by federal funds, didn't disburse the 50% that should be disbursed to the vendor that won the bid before he will order the product. They're supposed to give 50% if it's federal funds, if it's funded by federal funds. And GSA and state agency are not doing it.
Mr. Lanzagna, I'm not familiar with that requirement.
I will provide you a copy of the
Okay, I would appreciate that, because I'm not aware of that requirement on this.
Because it's like contractor. You know, before, if they won any contract with the federal government, the federal government will issue mobility funds before they start up the project. And this also falls under contracts.
I think what you're referring to might be in the case of contract. But again, I'm not familiar, so I'll just await your...
Sure. Yeah, I will suffice that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I already have an experience. And before, because they were the one that notified me that this is federal funds.
Yes,
you are entitled to 50%. So I didn't order it until I took the money.
Yeah.
And then order.
I see.
And then I think just like exhibit S. The GPA, see, I'm the only bidder. Three bidders were late. And they rejected it because they said they're not meeting the delivery requirement. But then on my exhibit S, I made a letter to Mr. Benavente that their reference model number is no longer continued. It's already discontinued. You see, that's the problem. You don't comply with the law. You need to get justification that the product is still on. You will not just guess that, they're still making this trailer. And then the delivery again is not realistic. They did not get the lead time from the factory. Most of the factory are from the East Coast. And we need to travel it to the West Coast another 7 to 10 days, and then to Guam. The E1, E2, E3, Mr. Hurling Officer, these are, maybe I don't have to discuss this already, because these are regarding, but it's also relevant, but we already discussed it in the first place, regarding the refusal of the GSA to grant extended delivery, but they grant the extension of the bid even if it passed the 4 days that they limit, the 4 days limit to ask questions and concerns. And the law said you're not supposed to be unduly restricted. You know, you cannot be limiting the time to ask questions and concerns from the vendor. So you're being too restrictive. It's according to the section of the law. Yeah. Of course, if they do those kind of behavior, then, like what I said, they're subject to negative interpretation. Maybe it's already enumerated.
Does that complete your submittal of exhibits?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's some list of issue that maybe like 5 minutes, easy to get easily articulated.
You mean during closing?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Toft, did you have any exhibits that you wanted to refer to?
I'll just refer to his, actually. So, as to the color of the cabinets, I was looking through it. I would note, one, that this issue was not brought to the attention of the hearing officer prior to the appeal that was submitted on September 29th, I believe, whereas the notice of final request for reconsideration was done on September 15th. In looking at Sun Leader's bid, the specifications do say color parchment in their bid. They say as specified in there, but I think that does qualify them for it. With regard to the specifications not being published, there's no requirement that they be published. The requirement is that they're in the bid somewhere, and they are here. That's specifications prepared by Lieutenant Andrew B. Kitigua, Boating Law Administrator, in the draft specification. As regard to the timing issue, I've been a former agency director, and the timing issue is huge. If you have federal funds that are lapsing, you want to make sure that you get your bid through, get through the process before those funds lapse. And you have to take into account the time for GSA to go through their process, for the bid to be reviewed by the AG's office if necessary, time for appeal if necessary. So I do think that there are valid reasons for bids to be shorter. And if you're not able to comply with the requirements, you know, government bidding is difficult. Funding's never guaranteed. There's not equal bargaining power. There's bid bonding to be done on it. But if you're not able to do it, then you just don't bid on it. I mean, you can write letters to the editor of the PDN, bring this up to other government officials. You know, these aren't able to be complied with by normal business people. But obviously someone is complying with it because they won the bid on it. You know, if this were a case where nobody's bidding on it at all, I think you have a little more of a valid point. And like he said, what do? Do I send it by airplane? Do I cost him more money? Well, yeah. If that's what it takes to get compliant with the bid, then yes. Because being a qualified bidder is what GSA looks at. They have to. That's how they follow the law on this. He's saying they're not following the law, but that's exactly what they have to do. If you look at Exhibit R, if they awarded that contract to GPE, regardless of the fact that he doesn't comply with the date on it, the time date on it, then they're violating the law on it. Other companies might not have bid because they can't meet the delivery date. So if they, you know, go around that and say, well, you know, we're going to decide for you that this is not a material provision, then that's an abuse of their discretion. So I think in this case, holding firm to that delivery date is required of them. I don't think that's something they can waive because of a small price difference. And like I pointed out in the motion, GPE is not even the lowest bidder here. There's one that's nearly $6,000 lower. And that bidder, you know, like you said, they tried to skirt around the issue. They said between 28 to 40-some days or so. And GSA, rightly so, has to reject that because that's not complying with the bid. And it's GSA that makes the determination of whether a bid is responsive. The best interest of the government is not something to be determined by someone other than the government. It's a flexibility provision granted to the government by the legislature. It's not a weapon to be used against the government by a bidder who may have a biased point of view as to who the government should be making concessions for. And that's essentially what this is. It's the appellant has asked for a concession here. GSA said no, and he's simply refusing to take that for an answer. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Toth, I have a question.
Yes.
What due diligence did GSA, or what due diligence do you take into account when 1, 2, 3 bidders all indicated that they cannot meet the delivery date, but you have one bidder that says as specified? So what due diligence did GSA incur to ensure that that bidder would meet the delivery date?
Well, I think that, and that's an issue with Guam law, is that there is no requirement of due diligence there, but there is a penalty for the bidder who says they can do the delivery date and fails to meet it. You know, that can range from being banned from bidding on government contracts if you repeatedly abuse this. So I think there is a mechanism in there. It's not the best mechanism because it's not proactive, it's reactive. You know, it's punishing noncompliance.
So is, let's just say hypothetically.
Sure.
Okay, that because of the comment they said as specified, and
yes.
GSA doesn't incur and do any due diligence, okay, and this bid, this delivery date comes in a anywhere from 31 to however many days.
Right.
Is there any mechanism to penalize that bidder?
Yes, there are mechanisms in the statutes. I can't give you the exact statute number at this time, but I could supply it later. Would that say there are financial penalties on a per-day basis for failing to comply with the contract? And for repeated violations, you can be excluded from bidding on government contracts altogether for a time period.
So is there a penalty? I have to go back to the bid, but is there a penalty clause for failure to meet the, that could be assessed against the bidder for failure to meet the delivery date?
I believe it's statutory. I don't think it's in the bid itself. I believe it's in Title V GCA.
So, Mr. Toft, if you want to rely on that as part of your argument, you can please submit that by Friday, okay?
Okay.
And please also provide that to Mr.
Yes.
Gonzalez. Well, did you have anything further to add, Mr. Toft?
No, nothing further.
Mr. Lansani?
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. In my exhibit G, section 5008, letter E, the specification, terms, conditions, and qualification for all solicitation shall be drafted to promote participation in the solicitation by local bidders. Meaning, it should be drafted. The delivery should be drafted, but it's not drafted, Mr. Hearing Officer, based on the requisition. Only the price, the estimated price is drafted, but no delivery. So my point is, they cannot just put a 30-day requirement on any bid. They cannot just put any delivery date that they wish for, because they need to follow the law. They need to get, it needs to be drafted by the people that has expertise. Because delivery, just like what I have said, falls under specification. GSA cannot just do what they wish for. They cannot just invoke for the best interest of the government because there are terms and conditions that they need to adhere to. There are criteria, to justify that authority to invoke for the best interest of the government. They need to fall under the criteria. And in this case, GSA did not. They did not place any delivery. They just guessed it. And luckily, one bidder put 30 days as specified. That's my point and my rebuttal against his opinion.
Sure.
Against the argument. Because it's very wrong that GSA can do everything he wished for, including the major component, which is the delivery. Just the one discouraging bidder.
Okay. Do the parties wish to make closing arguments? Is there anything further to add?
Yes, for a few minutes. The list of issues like indefinite quantity. I think this is a one-sided bid.
This is not an indefinite quantity.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not an indefinite quantity.
Okay.
For clarification.
But this list of issues that we cannot tackle it?
It's not relevant to this.
This point, it's more summarizing, giving your summation about your position on this appeal, your argument. So
I understand.
You want to just close.
My closing argument, I think I already articulated everything.
You're very thorough.
My argument is not only justified by wishful thinking that GSA can do everything he wishes for. It is justified by current statutes, by GCA, and terms and conditions of the bid. Awards, pertaining to awards. And this OPA is very powerful because he has the authority to recommend a course of action and as section 12110, and shall issue a final written decision or take appropriate action on its appeal submitted. You know, and yeah, it really needs a course of action to promote the objective of OPA for better government. You know, could be a better government if there's misadministration, you know, manipulation of bids. And yes, because no matter what is the opinion or ruling of OPA, it will have greater weight on the in case it is adjudicated. That's why this agency is the first base, that is a very powerful agency. Because you know, it has so many authority. And I hope it will be implemented and carried out for the sake of Guam's economy.
Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Toffler.
Just briefly, I think there's a time, place, and manner for arguments against how GSA and the procurement process is run to be made. You know, there's a new procurement bill going through the legislature. Concerns as to off-island shipping can be brought up and maybe inserted into the new legislation that's presumably going to be reviewed. Arguing it on appeal on a case where, you know, notice has been given to all the parties, there's been a fair opportunity for every party to try and comply with the bid date. That's not the time to make that argument. I think that what we have here is it's a process where, yes, it's a very short delivery date time, but someone was able to comply with it. You know, if absolutely nobody were complying with it, and you had just every single bid being rejected because there are no bidders, I think you have an issue then. But obviously some people are presumably going to comply with it, and if they don't, obviously they'll be penalized and, eventually barred from the bidding process if there's repeated abuse of the process. But until that time, you have to presume that they're going to comply with the bid.
Thank you. So the matter will be taken under advisement and a decision will be issued.
Thank you.
This concludes the formal hearing of OPA PA 1510, Guam Pacific Enterprises versus General Service Agency. The time is 12:52 p.m. Thank you.